When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, and always, Brandon Pham. With me, a special old friend from earlier episodes, Dave Mervick. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm all right. I'm sitting here in my pajamas now because of this ungodly hour you asked me to come back on.
I think everybody is technically in pajamas now all the time. And we're all about if gamers, I think game developers always joked about just having a good t-shirt. But I think because of all these Zoom calls, we're like trying to up the game a little bit, just something without stains. But before I go any further, for those who haven't heard early episodes when you were on, would you mind giving a little introduction of who you are, where you're from, and where you're heading?
My name's Dave Mervick. I'm the senior narrative designer on Little Nightmares 2, and I work with the guys at Tosha Studios in Malmö, Sweden. And it is nighttime for us here.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah, thank you for staying up. I mean, you must like talking to me somewhat to sacrifice your sleep a bit.
And counting the days.
I think the last time I talked to you were, I think maybe a little after the first Little Nightmares came out, and we kind of went over how that development went. Since then, of course, you guys are working on the sequel, and I kind of want to understand more about, you know, that transition, being a smaller studio. Like, how was that transition? Like, can you kind of walk us back to when COVID became serious and what your studio had to do to kind of transition towards that? And was it a smooth transition? And,
it was weird. I remember hearing little like glimmers of it, you know, because when things are happening elsewhere, it's fine, you know, it just barely makes the papers, and then suddenly, oh, now it's here in real countries, which, you know, just shows how spoilt we are, doesn't it? But my mum was actually visiting; she was overseeing me son, and we had a whole like 10 days planned. And then like on the second day she was here, I got a phone call from his sister, luckily saying Denmark's closing their borders in about 10 hours. And it's like that.
Wow.
Shit. Yeah. So it was like rapidly pack up and get her out of the country. But then it was the same back in work. They were saying, we're probably going to start transitioning everyone to working from home gradually and all this. And then the next day it was, right, we're moving you home. You will be working from home from Monday. And IT worked the whole weekend and pulled it off. And I think it's because when you got like a digital infrastructure, like games companies, the transition's so much easier than, you know, so many people still having to go to work because they just don't, you know, that's what the job entails. And it just sucks. But yeah, we've been spoiled considering. You know, most people stay at home anyway. it's just how it is, you know. Just, oh, I'm in front of the screen again, all right. Ordering food in, okay.
Yeah, just, yeah. It really is, in terms of working, it doesn't really feel that much different. Of course, you know, you're taking out the commute, and then, you know, once in a while you can turn around and joke around with your friend, like, I would say half the day, and then maybe you get 2 hours into work, right? I do miss that part.
That's my day.
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of work, very familiar. You know, you're in your little box anyways when you actually get down grinding. And I'm finding a lot of developers getting more done because we kind of want the bulk of the day to ourselves. If I get these tasks done, it's my day is my day. So there's a motivation with that, but there's also like, well, I'm like, there's this thing I didn't get to. I guess I can spend a little time at night to figure that out because it's right there. And I'm also seeing how it's like taxing all the developers into the self-crunching mode because it's so available to us. It's interesting kind of hear your story about that too, because I think I can relate where I didn't really take it seriously at the beginning. And it was like, of all places, I was playing basketball at my gym with a bunch of people. And I started seeing these little groups talking about the virus more seriously. I was like, what does that mean? Should I even be here? These guys are like the sweatiest, stinkiest people. And if they're worried, maybe I should really rethink my weeks spending my time here. And yeah, just like that, the next week, everything was closed. And it was pretty immediate. It was little creepers where like, it's in China. I don't need to worry about it. And then it was suddenly overseas and not our problem. I think within our countries, US and UK got hit pretty bad because of that maybe slow processing that we had at the height of it.
It made me so cross that though, because like, you know, I mean, like my dad.
Oops. Huh? I think we just lost him for a sec. Well, now you know how it's live. Well, I'll just wait for Dave until he comes back.
Anyway, he was out in West Africa.
Sorry.
He always worked in West Africa for some reason.
So, Dave,
over there.
Do you mind kind of going over that story?
And we kind of lost Ebola you. Ebola came out.
Yeah. We lost you for like,
back.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Oh, right when you were starting. That's good because I'd had a mind blank.
Okay. Then it was intentional. Yeah. But I hope everything's okay. I just kind of caught the last something about your dad.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, when my dad was out in West Africa, when Ebola hit.
Oh, I see.
It's only because I had like a personal connection to someone out there that I was like really kind of struck by that, and he had to get out very quick. But like, it was the same, like you were saying, you know, this is over in China, and like, it makes you feel like really ashamed of like your reaction to that. It's like, how many people are affected by that out there? But it only counts when it comes over here. Do you know what I mean? Like, now we take it seriously. Now we have to, well, in the case of the US and the UK, do nothing until it's like absolutely out of control. But, you know, it's just, you're just like that. Why didn't we take it seriously? Why didn't anyone take it seriously when you have a shot? I keep it under control, but you always think in these like, even though it's like a whole continent, it's still so parochial, you know, and like closed off. I'm like, well, it's fine unless it comes here, but now it's too late. I've seen outbreak, you know. Dustin Hoffman was on top of it, but no one else was.
It's funny that you're bringing that up. No, I've seen that movie, but I would say that there's something to that. I think one of the things that researchers are kind of coming out of this, a lot of the we country that's like socialist type of countries are handling this a bit better, the we kind of first type of mentality, and then the I countries such as ours are really struggling with this, and not even about things happening over the fence in other countries and continents, but like I see it within my neighborhood, like, well, it's you know, this so-and-so who lives down the street, they got it, but it's not our little bubble. So we don't, and it's like always to the last minute of just pushing, you know, the thinking.
Keep pulling the next ladder up, don't you?
Yeah, really.
Right now it's you lot. I'm fine still, Lou.
Yeah. And I'm still seeing that. It's like even when my sister-in-law's boyfriend got it, and he works as a EMT at a hospital, so of course he got it, right? But then luckily, he didn't spread it within our bubble. And then the next, you know, it's very weird. You see these internal struggles with family. Like my immediate family is very closed off. Like we're treating this very seriously. And then our other parts of our family are just hanging out every week in these family gatherings, which is the number one spreader, funny enough. But then that circle just got back together as soon as he kicked it. I was like, guys, that was a close call. That was a real thing there. That could have killed the whole family there, right there. Mm-hmm. But everyone just, I don't know, maybe the struggle is real. And I think I do understand and sympathize. It's like a year in maybe almost now. Mm. And if we had taken control like New Zealand, people would have hunkered down 6 weeks and just moved on with their life. But no, we're dragging this on because of our stubbornness, I think.
And it's like, I think both the US and the UK had the worst people in charge at the worst possible time. I mean, like, you know, we could have, like someone said recently, like the UK could have had a situation like New Zealand if they hadn't destroyed that guy. And instead they got the worst government in the world. Who've done so much to damage the chances of people getting through this. You know, it's ridiculous. And my sister got it as well. She works for the NHS. Mm-hmm. I was more angry than she was at the token gesture that came every Thursday where people would go outside and clap for health workers for a minute. Mm-hmm. I found that insulting.
Yeah.
But this isn't that podcast, is it? But do you know what I mean? It's just
no. I think it's
selling the NHS out from under people, telling them they're not absolutely unprepared for something like this because they live on the edge all the time. Because there's no profit in looking after people. Mm-hmm. But we will give you a round of applause every week. Oh well, thanks for that, man. But never, you know.
I mean, obviously, this affects everybody, right? I know we're a game development podcast, but like, look at how I think there's a mental toll. Even with me, I was working from home before. I'm kind of want to dig into if you had a history of working from home before, maybe a few days here and there. But even this was like very taxing. This is because I'm used to like working at home and then taking a break and hang out in the weekend and then come back. This is like in prison, man. It's like I'm constantly locked to work. It's like, what else are you gonna do but not be productive? Like, you're gonna, you know, you gotta have things to do, and we're just finding things to do. And it's very, I think as a creative, there's a limit to that where you can be really creative, but then I'm at that point where I'm like, I need to get the fuck out and do something because I'm just sourcing from the same garbage. I'm recycling from my filth to try to come up with something creative. But I, as a narrative designer, what are your struggles through this? Like, how is it hampering your creativity, your inspiration?
I think probably, I mean, I've always worked from home a bit, you know, like because I can. You know, so because I live out like an hour outside of town now, so like sometimes it was just better. I've got no one to meet, so it's better I just stay at home and read and work and all that sort of stuff. But now it's this thing of like, no, you can't go in. And as soon as someone says you can't, you have to do the thing that you are doing, then you suddenly don't want to do that. You feel, you know. So, and for me, like, it's this sort of, when I need to see people, I need to be able to go and see people because I really, I feed off that. Like, we've got such a great group of people at Tarsha as well. Like, I genuinely, I imagine everyone says this, you know, it's like a family. Even if they're not American, they have an American accent in my head. Yeah. But like, it's just a great group of people, and I look forward to seeing them when I get in. And like, suddenly, when you don't get that, you don't get the energy to, when you walk away, to sit down and work. You don't have that anymore. It's just like, well, I'm at home. I'll take the dog out, I guess, and maybe have a coffee. And then I don't know. I mean, at the minute, like, the phase I'm in now is like I said, it's lots of research and writing and trying out of ideas. So it's kind of fine. It's what I'd be doing anyway, you know, but, yeah, the hard thing, and I think for all of us, we all miss, because we don't have breakfast together every Friday morning. It's just a lovely thing that get some music on, just sit at a table and bullshit with people. You know, usually abuse the guy who thinks every Marvel movie's great, or you know, whatever. He knows who he is.
Yeah. So, you like the last part of Black Panther? Really? You really like that last fighting scene? You don't think it was overblown? CG fest?
I've actually stopped now. Same with Star Wars. I just stopped.
Like, yeah. Just,
I ran out of fake smiles. There comes a time in everyone's life when you've got no more fake smiles to give.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're talking about stuff that, you know, we've had a lot of people on and kind of speaking to the same same struggles. It's like these human beings can go only so far. Like you can't really feed off each other, and then they become like work. They feel like work. Now you have to schedule it to kind of just brainstorm, and it's not spontaneous anymore. And that's not how these kind of creative sessions, you know, you want to go at it, but this is what we got. Are you finding a certain rhythm now? Do you, what benefits are you seeing from this? What cons do you think it's just irreplaceable until you guys can get back in the office? Like what kind of discussions are you having internally and with your team of what's working with this and what's definitely not working? As soon as this is over, we got to do some type of hybrid approach.
I mean, everything's working, but that's how it is. It's like nothing's better than it was before.
Yeah.
But we're making it work. And I think that's the difference now. Is in the very beginning, it was just like a struggle, you know, to get group discussions at all functional. Because, you know, it can be awkward anyway, particularly if you're in like brainstorming or feedback or something. No one quite knows when to jump in, even if you're in the same room together. But when you've just got to have like this digital hand, you know, or like keep your poker face while someone's saying something that you absolutely disagree with. Something yeah, which true. I abjectly fail at every time. I watch my own face going, you suck at this so bad. Like, switch to profile picture mode.
Yeah.
But it's things like that where you need the energy of the room and you vibe off people. You know, you can see if someone's enjoying what you're saying or if they're not enjoying what you're saying. And now all you have is what you see on the video, and you don't know what, maybe they're checking their emails. You just don't know sometimes, like, because everyone's got to juggle so much. Maybe they have to quickly check something, or someone's bothering them, or maybe their kid just comes in and you're like, oh, well, that moment's gone. And that happens to me all. It's, you know, my lad will run in and just wants to sit with me and play with PS4 controller. I'm like, sorry, I am listening, but I have this also. So, you know, we make it all work now, but nothing's better. We had a lovely thing today, actually. Like, a lovely colleague of ours is moving on. And she was having like an exit interview, and our HR manager kind of arranged a surprise goodbye for her. So we all jumped in at the end of this exit interview.
Oh, nice.
And said tra and all this. And that's Northern for goodbye, by the way. I just realized I forget myself sometimes. So you kind of have to be a bit more creative, but it all kind of feels patchwork, doesn't it? You know, like,
yeah.
Nobody would enjoy a digital surprise party normally, but like, all right, is this the best we get? Then we'll take it. You know, it feels better than nothing. So, but yeah.
I think, if anything, what I'm finding with developers is that we're since we're home a lot, I am seeing, you know, when I started this whole thing, my kids more, I'm able to kind of remind myself to take more breaks, you know, and enjoy, you know, what we're working towards this whole time is to enjoy family life and time at home as best I can. Because we really think about it, you know, 8 hours away from home or 10 hours plus, depending on your commute, every day, 5 days a week. I mean, that's at some point, you know, I was joking, especially when we were finishing a project, I was seeing my cubicle buddy more than my wife. for months on end, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was always something like that for game developers that we felt kind of locked to our table. And I think I love the fact that dynamic has changed. And I think the poor part of it is that it's kind of thrown into this extreme situation of where parents and teachers now, and now they're always at home as well. And it's like, all right, I need some break from people to concentrate. And it's just, it's hard to balance. It's not something that we should be getting used to, but temporarily we have to.
Yeah. I think what where we are now, like, because a lot of people had like been interested in, you know, like for example, like flexible working hours, you know, working from home where possible and all this, because everyone has different responsibilities, and they do, you know, particularly in Sweden, they want to help you have that work-life balance, you know, where you can. And so it had been like on the boil a little bit, but there was no pressure. And now it had to happen, like literally in our case over the weekend. So now, like, when this finally, if ever, is all over, now we have that infrastructure. It's just working.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's the kind of thing they're thinking. It's like, if you, you know, it's there for you now. If you want to work from home, it's better for you and the team to work from home. Do that. But what we want is for you to want to come in. We want to make this a place that you don't want to be away from for too long. And I think that's a really nice mindset, that they're going to just make the office a really cool place. And obviously we miss each other loads, but, you know, it's available now. Like you say, there are positives to this shit situation where people have found out that there's some stuff that kind of works about being away from the office, and they can make it work after all. So I think might hopefully we'll find that there's like a nice balance to be struck there, where people can be productive in a really cool way. Like sometimes I have ideas in the middle of the night, I can come down and do a few hours then,
yeah,
and do less hours in the day. You can't be creative from 9 to 5 sometimes, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I definitely sign off on that. I think different people, I'm an early bird. I've always been.
Me too.
I think part of that is being a family man. I have to, you know, if I want real work done, I have to wake up earlier than everybody to kind of get it done. you know, there was a restriction to that with studios, especially it's one of those, it's appearances, right? Right. So if I'm showing up 4 hours earlier than everybody, no one sees that. They just see the guy who's leaving at 4 or 5 p.m. It's like, yeah, bro. Yeah. So there was a period in my career that I had to kind of balance that out. It's like, you know, I get creative in the morning, but I can't show up too early. Otherwise, I'm spending 12 hours for no reason, just to show that I'm there. Yeah. So it's always weird. But now I think with this, it kind of allows people to just check my check-in, dude. Everyone's kind of doing the same. You know, you see that I'm putting in the time. You've seen the good work that's coming through. It's purely about work. And then the office is just irreplaceable in terms of team gatherings and just brainstorming. And I think that's the best of both options. I definitely see a lot of studios going that way.
I think that focus on the output is so much better than hours, checking your hours.
Yeah.
Have you done your 8 hours a day? All right. Yeah, I have. What have you done? Well, not that much.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter in the end then, does it? We're here to make a game. I'd rather someone came in for 3 hours and nailed it.
Yeah.
And went and took the rest of the day off. Is the only thing that matters in the end is the job. Or obviously you kinda don't mess anyone else up.
Yeah. You know, I love that. I love that it's breaking that barrier. That industrial revolution. Nine to five thing.
So antiquated, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very old. And as creatives, it just doesn't work. It's never worked for me. I never liked it. You know, after 2 p.m. after lunch, I'm done. I have a big meal and I'm like mentally checked out. It's just like waiting around and just fucking around with colleagues at that point, which is valuable in itself. But that's the reality. I don't know anyone that's super efficient really after lunch. It's just people counting the clock to get out.
There's a big push in Sweden for like the 6-hour day.
Hey guys, let's take a break and have a word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by AppFigures. AppFigures is all about giving game makers the tools they need to get more downloads and revenue. You may already know them for analytics and app store optimization. Now, AppFigures can help you track competitors, from how many downloads they're getting and how much money they're making to their audience demographics, and even which SDKs they use. Their competitor intelligence gives you great context. Say a competitor adds a new feature or was mentioned in the news. With AppFigures, you can see if that brought in more downloads. Got a great idea for an app or a game? With AppFigures, you can figure out how big the market is and how much money you could be making with it. And that's just scratching the surface. Whether you're growing your app or building a new one, AppFigures has the tools you need to reduce risk and get more downloads. You don't need a large budget or a data science degree to do this kind of stuff anymore. AppFigures has made it affordable and simple. On top of tools, AppFigures also provides a lot of guides and tutorials to take you step by step through gaining more visibility with ASO and increasing your revenue by learning from your competitors. They just released a free guide on that, actually. So head over to appfigures.com, appfigures.com/on, Owen/GameDevUnchained to try App Figures for free. If you like it, then use our special code GDU3030 to get 30% off for the next 3 months. You're welcome.
So, you know, like,
that's nice
because everyone that's done it, they're finding that you still get the same amount done. You're just more efficient because otherwise you just bullshit for half an hour every so often. And maybe you just do things slower. But if you're like, you know, you're done at 2 o'clock, you just get that done then by 2 o'clock. But you've got so much more time for yourself at the end of the day. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
As a first step, at least.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a shift of mentality. I think managers generally in the game industry always felt they need to manage 24/7. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of pack of kids that won't get work done. But it's like we're professionals and we want to get work done so we can do other things. And I think big kids are showing at least that we have responsibilities. We're trying to nail it. So that, you know, we have the week to ourselves and it is about the work and output. Yeah. And I think that's helped. I don't, unfortunately, this thing was the stimulant for that type of thinking. It was no other way in any way that a lot of studios would have let this happen as a trial, right? Setting up the infrastructure just for a trial is just, this was unfortunately the only way that this could have happened. And maybe it's for the better. But yeah, it does suck that we're hearing. I was talking to my friend who was working at a company with me years ago in the US who not recently, I think he moved to China 5 years ago to work at a big Chinese company, and he's Chinese. But like, he was like, oh yeah, we're walking around like normal now. I was like, well, I mean, start over there, motherfucker. don't act like you had nothing to do with this. It's like, yeah, we're crew. You guys are still struggling. It's like, well, come on, man. It's like, I just had cafe with my friends over down the street. It's like, yeah, that's nice.
Oh,
but it is, it's disheartening to kind of hear New Zealand. I'm glad to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it is tough, at least in the United States right now, to kind of hear these stories, people kind of resuming life. And you're just like infighting with your family about why, well, this is why I can't visit you. You know, there's a pandemic going on. Putting our parents it's weird, man. It's a really challenge for everyone to argue about what's safe and what's not now.
Yeah, no, I know. There's so many experts out there, you know, like armchair experts. they know all about vaccine strategy and
just
an expert in everything.
Everyone's suddenly a doctor now, huh? Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, you got your PhD.
This is how face masks work, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so many theories.
I'm really happy to see New Zealand doing well there, because I think Jacinda Ardern, this is just the model of the new kind of leader. Or it should have been always that kind of leader, but you know, to see someone like that succeeding with someone who cares about the people that they're leading, I think is great.
It definitely made me pay more attention to where I live. Yeah. Because I've always felt like there's a certain age that people start paying more attention to politics and, you know, the well-being of our future generation. And I think this pushed me in a big way. I was like, maybe United States is not that great. Like, if this was a real zombie biting apocalypse, holy crap. Like, we were really left on our own here. And seeing countries like even Canada, not so far off, my friends were saying that they were really taking the whole, you know, global healthcare system. Like, man, that's kind of actually pretty useful for things like this. Not have to worry about that.
Who knew,
right? And even if me, not even if I don't want to leave the United States, even Hawaii, right? This little island on its own. It's like, wow, they seem to be all right compared to, like, I live in California. I was like, it's right. Such a contrast.
Oh.
When it's local government and stuff.
It's always in these kind of places, and like the UK is the same. Like, it's fine as long as it's fine. Yeah. Just keep you on the edge, barely above water. Mm. And the minute anything goes wrong, they're not prepared, because it's about money. It's not about you. It's not. They don't care. They don't care about you. How is anyone surprised in the UK, the most servile? No, not fair on the UK, actually, England particularly, that you've got, the royals are still allowed to exist.
Yeah.
And these public school boys, the old Etonians, still in charge. And you're surprised still when they don't give a shit about anybody else. They're bred to be that way. Why don't they care about the working class? Just give that some thought then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it beggars belief.
It
I
definitely...
have my stakes and, you know, all my family and friends are back there. And I hate that they're in that situation. But, like, what are you going to do? You've got to change that system because there's no options. There's no options right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was an option and they destroyed him. But yeah, it's not that podcast.
No, but it's relevant. Like I would love to kind of dig into your thought, being as a creative, like these issues, you can't just keep creating games, ignoring what's going on. If the world's burning around you, like to me, it's very distracting in a bad and good way. It kind of woke me up to a lot of issues that you're saying, right? Like you said, just barely head above water until things are not fine anymore. Mm. And everything got exposed. Like this last year in the United States was pretty insane. Besides the virus, you know, we had all these riots, and that riot was kind of global too. That kind of sparked, you know, changes, and it got really crazy and felt unsafe and very clear that we're not as, I don't know. It sounds like we're insular, but not really that safe, bubble wrapped as we thought we would when things really do hit the fan. And it really made me realize, like, hey, you need to pay more attention to this stuff, because this little virus, you know, although it's killing a lot of people, it could have been a lot worse. And are you prepared as head of the household to kind of take control and figure things out within the little control that you have? And a lot of that is just like, I need to probably think about another place and be like Gabe Newell from Valve and like move everybody to New Zealand. I was like, that was a big, bold move from a game company. Like every game company is kind of struggling, changing infrastructure. It's like, shit, we'll just move to New Zealand. It seems like they got this shit together. It's like,
Did I miss that? Has that actually happened?
No, but I know he's living there. I don't know if he moved a lot of people over there. But I would imagine maybe some people went with them just to get things functioning again. Because I think because they're such a creative house where they need that kind of person-to-person brainstorming session. Otherwise, you know, it'll be everything's on Valve time, 10 years or so. You add COVID in that, it's 20 years. He's like, we need to ship some shit. Like they're getting, it's funny with them because they finally got, and this is all speculative, but from what I see, it finally seems like they got the bug bite to make games again with Half-Life Alyx. It's like, oh, wow, this feels really good to ship games again.
That's what we were doing.
And then this happened, so that kind of killed their buzz a bit. But to me, that was a major game company that was making some major moves in response to what was happening. And, you know, aside from the network and IT problems like that, that to me kind of woke me up a bit to like future companies and what to do, you know, future of the game companies here. But I guess my question to you is like, what I'm curious about is, this is such a crazy experience, hopefully once in a lifetime in our generation. Like I'm looking at my kids who's like 10 and 3, is like, wow, this is going to affect you. This is going to fuck you up somehow. We'll see how that goes. I can't wait to see how that story unfolds. But as a creative, I wonder, you know, what are you coming out of this? Like what kind of new ideas that you feel will come out of this little struggle where we're basically in prison? I'm always curious to see, once we're out of this, what kind of creative projects might be in response to this, because that always seems to me as an artist as an advantage of something traumatic and different. That we kind of come up with some some peace with it through our projects. Yeah.
I think as with everything, it's always the human behavior I'm interested in when anything happens. So I hope I don't go, the next project I want to write is about a virus. Yeah, called COVID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It won't be long, will it? All the movies will come out and all. Oh, this is us trying to wrestle with our past and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always, whether it's been kind of internal stresses at work or something global like this, it's always really interesting to see how people behave, and the people that you thought you could trust, the people you thought were on your side, see how it goes when you're up against the wall. Who's there for you now? You know, because I don't know if it's probably clear already with this shit I've been saying about the English government at the minute, but I have a certain point of view on that, and so I've always been suspicious of these people. But thought, you would pull the ladder up straight away.
Yeah.
But you always think, maybe I'm just a cynic. Oh, I'm just one of those lefties, and
blah, you got blah, confirmation, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, you just see it. And I fought with people on the other side, just debated it and all this. Like, no, it's not like that. It's about this. Then you see it and you're like, look, this is what I've been saying. They don't care about you. What more do you need? You literally, what the old cliche they were saying, the turkeys voted for Christmas again mm-hmm. when they voted conservatives in. And you're like, you must know at least that they're about individualism. It's not about the collective. It's about taking care of number one and mm-hmm. and profit over people always. And you've done it again. And like I was saying, you're only fine as long as you're fine. And the worst thing happened with the worst people in charge, who will only look after themselves. So again, you just see that's how it's going to go. And like you were saying before, you're always just shaving it down to the small group in the middle. It's only happening in China. Oh, it's only happening in the working class districts. Oh, it's only happening downstairs, but they're dirty downstairs, aren't they? I've got the penthouse. I'm fine. Mm. Oh, this, it's just it's bringing out the worst in some people. At the same time, it's bringing out the best in some people as well. And that's what I'm saying. That's the stuff I'll carry forward. I'm probably talking about just remaking The Last of Us now, aren't I? That'll be my next project.
But I think the human story is what I always look into too, the human connection of every genre, right? It's that if you can really nail that everything else is kind of like a backdrop, a set, right?
Yeah.
So I do kind of synchronize with you on that element, because I think a lot of people in our generation, the last 50, 60 years, were pretty dormant, pretty comfortable since the World War. Right? And I think because of that, we're kind of putting up blinders, at least the privileged countries that we're not dealing with wars every day. And it's not on our front door, like you said, that we always have to think about it. Like overall, globally, we've been kind of in this easy resting period. And I think this was kind of necessary to kind of remind people, are you guys prepared as a country to really face a catastrophe? Can you band together? And this little trial kind of showed me that no, we can't. Things got crazier right after everything got locked down and people were frustrated and a lot of people weren't taken care of and thought they would be taken care of. And I don't know how crazy it was over there in the UK, but it seems like Sweden was a little better. But we were just closing down businesses without any plan to kind of help the people who were running these businesses. Like, this is your plan to shut down for a year. How are these people are going to figure things out? And so there's a defiance there. People, businesses were, there was unnecessary infighting that I really felt sad about, that I thought you know, this is something what government usually would take care of. And it does really become a worry. I wouldn't say a distraction because it is important, but it does kind of put pause in like, yeah, we make entertainment. We do fun things, right? Everybody's playing Last of Us 2 during a pandemic. How ironic, right? Oh, and then it's like, is that really good? Like Netflix, like everyone's watching like virus movies. It's like, yeah, this is the best. This is not the best time to be doing this. You got to do more.
No,
positive.
No. Do you know what? I need a break from all this shit. Let's go and watch Contagion.
Yeah, I know, right? So like it's a very funny way to kind of see how people react to this in their own bubble. And I also see a lot
of
people.
It's so typical, isn't it? It's so typical of our generations.
Yeah.
But like, it still has to be meta.
Without the phone. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like my darkest moments. I'd come home and say, "This, we are due a massive war because this is what happens with at the peak spoiled people. You know, people posting reaction videos to something that they've already reacted to in real life.
Yeah.
There's nothing happened. It's just content. People are brands also. It's just, we're out of ideas. I'm like, that, this is it, isn't it? You read about this like time and time again, that you you reach peak, spoil, bullshit, cultureness. Yeah. And then there's something, just whether it's a fucking volcano or a war that just takes generations of people, it's the same. And here we are, watching virus videos on Netflix because it's still not real enough.
Yeah.
How many levels of hyper real could you have to wade through to understand what's going on and take it seriously? I don't know, man.
I haven't read this book, but I have it, Rise and Fall of Rome. I forgot who was written by. In my like my cue list is like, all right, maybe this is why a lot of ancient civilization that were at their height started to fall, because there's always a fall, right? And I do feel like there's a semblance of that with, you know, talks of civil war in the U.S. Like the storming of Capitol Hill was kind of crazy. Like that's how we started 2021, right? And I was like, oh my God, guys, don't we have enough things on our plate? This is what I think the aftermath of the consequences of how the government, they had 8 months, at least on our side, to kind of figure out before the first like big surge, and then to the second surge, 8 months to kind of figure out how to respond to it. And it's exactly the same way. Right? And then it's like, of course people are going to react and get angry, and they're going to go out there and, you know, expose more people by being in these groups. It's like people are just reacting to the mental toll that lockdowns tend to do to people. Look at all the prisoners. Like, it's not normal to lock anybody inside and tell them it's not safe, and then tell them mixed messages of how to be safe. And we're still arguing about masks and stuff. It's since we can't get our act together, and it does really worry me.
I don't get that. What's the argument?
People say it doesn't do anything.
What? Well, so does not wearing one.
Yeah.
That definitely doesn't do anything. That's empirical evidence. You're literally doing nothing.
I see.
What difference does it make?
It only took me one image to fully understand. It's like there was a meme going around.
Was it Bernie?
Well, that. But also a meme was going around about like these two stick figures. It's like, this is how it works, right? If you wear pants and the other person wear pants, and if you pee, there will be less pee on the other person. Let's take off one of these pants and see what happens. It's like, yeah, I mean, this is totally logical, and people can't see that. And it's crazy. It's like, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And that's the attitude that most people have still. And
but even that, isn't it? It's a signal of being spoiled still. Desperate to have your civil liberties genuinely challenged that you'll grasp at anything to claim
justify
that.
It. Yeah.
Someone's saying, just protect other people by wearing a mask in this situation. That's my civil liberties. Yeah. No, it's literally not. If you want to talk about the loss of civil liberties, you've got a long and checkered history of people who've had that actually taken. This is not that, is it? I don't know. We should. Can we talk about games? I'm super cross.
No. I get you. But it is one of those things, man. It's like it's hard, dude. It's hard going through the day, and we're trying to concentrate and make entertainment for people, and then we have this huge thing that happens every day, and I see it every time I go out. The very little time I go out to the grocery store, and it's very easy to spot an asshole now. I would say that.
Plus, really.
That's a plus. Oh, that's plus. One right there. That's another one right there. Even I'm getting so judgy, and I shouldn't, right? Because I feel like I've become the problem where someone just like who doesn't want to be an asshole and it is helping, but they don't put the mask on until the very last minute. Right? They're just walking it in their hand, and then as they cross the door, I can't buy groceries until I put this on. It's all right. And then they wear it like this, you know, with their nose.
Yeah, I was just going to say, these are my least favorite people.
Yeah.
Am I helping? No.
Yeah, get out of here, man. I saw someone have one of those snowboarding headbands and they just pulled it down and it's like this thin, right? I was like, what are you doing, dude? You look like an idiot. So why?
Do you know what sucks? It's like when you see people driving badly, they're not the ones that die. They just cause
accidents. They cause the problems. Yeah.
For other people. And that's what drives me crazy. Is it would be great if it's just thinned the herd. Like if you want to not wear a mask, you'll die then. Or you won't because it's a hoax and all this.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Thing,
yeah.
But it's not them that will pay the price. So I don't know. It's just I don't know. If this all makes the history books.
Oh, it's definitely
embarrassing more than anything.
It's definitely there.
When I'm like a ghost, I'm going to haunt those people. you know how humiliating the end of our civilization was thanks to you. We could have gone out with a proper bang instead. No one wants to talk about it when they pick this history book up. Oh, God, really? Oh, no.
It's a weird time. I think there's a mistake to even think. A lot of people, because of the vaccine slowly being rolled out, I know friends who are working in that industry are getting, you know, the first and second shot. People think overnight is going to be over. This is a long draw, man. This is like a year or two. There's a lot of people who are anti-vaxxers. Along with that, it's like, all right, throw those people into the mix. It's like, great. It's a good 2 to 3 years of our life chunk where we're just not able to be ourselves and just finding. It's really a struggle, man. As a creative, you're just trying to get things going, but like to me it really makes it hard. I think for anybody, I guess in any industry, it makes it hard. It's like, oh my God, like do I feel like making games right now? It's like, is that the most important question right now to get this out? I think everybody's kind of asking. I guess
again though, it's like what kind of games you want to make, like you were asking before.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, you know, you think games, you just think primary colors, happy clappy, you know,
yeah,
forget everything, nonsense. But like, there can be a response to it, and you know, it can be measured. It doesn't have to be your big AAA. I think it's time we took stock of our response to the virus.
yeah,
because it's always that guy, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know. I think there can be, hopefully at least, that there will be some kind of reactions to that. And games can do that. You know, I mean, games are actually doing well, aren't they, in this whole thing? Because everyone's indoors. And like, why not get through to people then? I know it's like a long development time and all this, but, you know, that's the kind of thing. For me, it's like the stuff I read, like people's reactions, you know, some really kind of cool journalists and stuff that keep me going. They just give you that bit of hope that there's people out there that kind of makes the world worth something, you know. And it would be nice to see kind of games doing that and kind of getting through to people a little bit. It's not about shooting the virus in the face for 60 hours plus loot. You know, it can be something else, you know. So you know, that can be a thing that comes out of this.
Yeah, I think any type of message that we can have people experience and come up with their own thoughts and you know, kind of relate to. It's going to help inspire, you know, the next generation of game developers, and just remember, you know, everyone's struggle, and kind of put it in a time capsule. It's like, you know, this is what came out of this artistically. And I think a lot of the artists are the ones going to lead us going back to normalcy in those response and reaction projects, basically, because it's going to be a long time. I don't even think there's a lot of hopes thinking that by September we can all hang out with family and stuff, and maybe there will be some semblance of that, but the way things were, I think it's going to be like another year, and it's just hopefully we have games like you guys and all this kind of help us through. But
yeah, we're always there to cheer people up.
Yeah. Little Nightmares, that sounds like a fun game.
Anyway, it's been nice having you on.
Yeah.
Just shout at the world for 50 minutes. I bet Bandai are listening to this going, when you said you were going to be here.
Yeah. I will say I do appreciate the depreciation of essential workers. It's like, unfortunately, these jobs are the lowest paid jobs in our society, and then suddenly that becomes the most important thing to keep us functioning. And I'm glad that that's finally being highlighted in the same way that entertainment is finally, you know, I don't hear as many articles saying games are so bad for kids and shit in this period. Like, I haven't heard anything.
Now everyone's stuck in the house with their kids. They love games.
Playing games. Like, thank God for games. Oh my God. Yeah, I got 5 hours to myself. Yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to say thanks for the Imagine Video celebrities. That really got me through some tough times where I thought things couldn't get worse.
Yeah. That was one with the Wonder Woman, right? That got panned.
Gal Gadot.
Oh my God. That was bad time.
And some people I actually liked as well.
Yeah.
I was like that. No. Yeah. No, not cringe. You as well.
Super cringe.
Yeah. I watched it again recently.
Was it just as bad?
Yeah.
Them in their Hampton house.
There's something special about that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're so detached.
Yeah.
You genuinely thought that people would get something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they really
how
had
deaf are you?
Yeah. The celebrity. That's just one side of the coin that felt like, yeah, it sucked to be at home. We're bored. That's something that you would hear a lot, but people don't have to worry about like finances. Yeah. And there is a
Madonna
disconnect.
In her bath full of petals.
Yeah.
I'm like that. This it's not about you, man.
Yeah.
It's like it's about people who are forced to go out. Like, you see, they're essential workers.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that'll be remembered.
I hope there is a better response to that. And unfortunately, it's those essential workers that are the demographic that's getting hit the most too. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Within expectations, right? Of course, they're out there. But it is one of those things, like, I got to a point, it's like, well, I mean, these guys, I was trying to be as supportive as I can and DoorDash and, you know, get the meals. At certain points, like, man, they're kind of touching everybody at this point. And it's like, is that really safe for the guy who touches everyone to touch your meal? And then you're sitting there. So it wasn't until I finally, all right, I got to go out and pick up these things. And I would see how these guys would just gather next to each other waiting for the meal. It's like, oh, man, this system is kind of broken because everyone's like filthy and trying to get through, and they're not really practicing all the things that we should be doing, and it's just all fucked, man. And that's a crazy thing. Like, people think that this system is supposed to be there to protect, but it's kind of ragtag too. It's like, guys, have you ever seen these DoorDashers gather up in front of a restaurant 2 feet from each other, and their masks are like under their nose? It's like they're touching your stuff and everybody. Do you really put yourself thinking, you know, people just think meals at their door and they didn't have to go out. It's like, this guy touched, he spit handshaked everybody, and then here is your meal. It's like, that's how it works. And I didn't realize that until 2 months ago, where I was like, I was having suspicion about it. And then when I finally saw it, it's like, wow, look at these. There's like 50 people waiting at the restaurant. And they're not the clean. And I saw 3 of them talking to a homeless man while waiting within 2 feet. It's like, oh my God, let's just light all the trash can on fire and just like inhale that. While you just, it's like you're about to give food to people. Oh, man. It's just all fucked, man. When you see it like that, it's like there's nothing that works. There's nothing in place to respond to this. And people are just winging it.
Always, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. Do you know what's weird with Sweden, though, is if you're not actually allowed to
go outside,
force people to stay at home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of loose here too, to be honest. There's no like policing. People are, to me, traffic seems to be the same still. Mm-hmm. There's no enforcement. No. I think the only enforcement has been, unfortunately, the businesses, where people are trying to survive and they're not giving solution, and people are closing left and right. Like there's a lot of restaurants, especially that are closed. And I think that's the wrong way to do it. I think in California there's a huge exodus going on right now with people and businesses, and like Elon Musk and all these tech companies are leaving. It's like, yo, when this is over, there's no jobs here. You know that, I guess. This is not a good idea. But it's affecting in so many ways. I don't think we're going to be able to see the full list of damage until way after the fact. And I think that's going to be too late if people aren't realizing it now of this whole
thing. Maybe all the people who could afford to live in San Francisco way back when will be kind of happy and able to afford to live there again. If Silicon Valley leaves. Hey!
Yeah. I think the locals are finally happy. It's like, finally got my house back. My little closet house for like $5,000. It's back on market. But that is a positive. I would say that like these mega cities, game development has always been kind of like have these towns that everyone flocks to. And of course that town is super expensive to live by. And so to get around that, that's always been 2-3 hour commutes back and forth. With the remote, now we don't have to worry about that as much. As a positive, people can live in affordable places and have a good, decent salary that that reflects that. That, to me, was a huge change, just because I can imagine you know, originally from UK, you've moved around a lot within the industry, and I have too, for good jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Not that job down the street because it's available. So I want the good job, so I have to move. I see that it totally is a net positive. I would love to kind of hear your perspective about that. If you have friends that are currently dealing with that, it's like where they're living, where they want to live, and working at where they want to work at without having to sacrifice uprooting anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we've kind of had on the horizon anyway, like, you know, because there's a very strong talent pool in Sweden, but it's not big enough because there's so many developers here, like particularly in Malmo, there's so many, you know, established and startup as well. And so if you have any kind of ambition to grow at all, you have to be able to bring talent in from around the world and also make, you know, maybe they can't move, or maybe they don't want to move, or it's, you know, there's trouble with visa or whatever. So we've already been looking at, like, can we have remote work and can it work? We'd actually done it successfully with one guy who had to move back to the US, one of our designers. And so that's just something now that's like, it's just a standard, obviously, in the way things are at the moment. Welcome to Tarsha, stay where you are, kind of thing. But certainly, you know, we'd be in a position to, if someone was too good to pass up, then we have that ability. And, you know, you always need sort of like proper flesh time with people, you know, to get to know and all that. But for the most part, we at least know it's possible to get really talented people, whether they can actually be in house or not. So it's all about the fit for us, you know, as well as skills. We need to be a good fit for the studio, because we're I wouldn't say unusual, but like a certain type of people. We have a certain dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's
really important.
My mentality with developer happiness has always been tied to, if I'm surrounded by you know, you're always forced to kind of meet new friends. That's unavoidable. But like, there's a, as I gotten older, like family has become such a rocky, like a good foundation for me and my family to be around, just around the grandma, around the sister-in-law. Like it became more and more important. And it was one of those times where I felt like I was climbing higher into the chain of command at a studio, but then I was finding myself farther and farther away. And it always been a sacrifice, and I'm infinitely a lot more happier just being where I want to be. And now the options are open where you can work at a great studio without having to reroute your whole life, meet new friends, and just, it always feels temporary to me. It's like, even if I move somewhere to a great place, it always feels temporary because the game industry is super volatile. But I think with this push where it's more about the output and the individual's happiness while they're working at a studio, it's one of those things. Like I said, it's a byproduct of this pandemic, but it's the only way that this could have happened, I think, where a lot of students are rethinking that. But
I agree. It's too, it would have been too big a risk. So it would have had to been like a trailblazer company tested out and shows everyone that it can work and that it's better. Yeah. And then, you know, that's how it goes, isn't it? Oh, all right. Yeah. We want to do that too. Then now the risk is less.
Yeah.
But so
The IP protection has always been an issue. It's like, what, send all the files to your home computer? Where you at? it's fine, man. I'm in my PJs. I'm good. I'll see you on Zoom. So now we're not doing that. But now that everyone's forced to, it is weird, but it's awesome. And it is, like I said, we won't know the damage of this whole thing until after we get a breather and see what's up. But
I definitely feel spoiled on that front because we moved out here, I think about 3 years ago. And we were right in the middle of Malmö before, like in an apartment. I would have gone berserk in the situation there, and I can only imagine how hard it is to be forced to stay in an apartment.
Yeah,
you know, and to feel scared to go outside, even if you are allowed to go outside, to just feel scared because the few times I've ventured into town, like lately, I've been stressed out. It feels like there's too many people and everyone's being dumb.
Yeah.
And that, like, now I'm out, you know, out in the middle of Weberud. You know, population 1,000 or whatever. You know, you don't have that same stress. If I feel like super lucky and really, really spoiled. I'm like, how's it over there like that? I'm looking out at snow capped pine trees and no people like that. Oh, it's hard, you know. Oh, probably the same as you.
Yeah. Farm life have definitely become really appealing. Nature, the love of nature and distance and just being away from the city life is I think everyone's appreciating more. And like you, man, like I'm spoiled to not having to kind of get through this through an apartment and trying to figure that out and bumping into people. It's definitely that urinal, that fear of being at the urinal and then of all the available urinals, that guy always finds that one next to you, right? I feel that anxiety every time I walk in a grocery store. It's like, yo, why you gotta get in my space? It's like, why can't you just wait? I freak out in grocery stores now because people are just in your zone all the time. And it's very hard. It's very hard to kind of like gauge what's right and what's wrong if I'm being overly stressed for no reason. But
like close talkers are like 100 times worse now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because it's not just like your garlic breath, you know, there's something in there potentially as well. Just, all right, then.
So I hear you just fine. Stand right there. But yeah, it's going to change everyone's behavior for sure. I mean, I for one, am going to wear masks for a while. And it sucks. And it's that's a large chunk. Man, we're not getting any younger. It's a large chunk of our life that's like, I feel like we're missing out. And it's hard not to go back to that. thinking that I'm missing out a chunk of my life, but I guess every generation has this thing. I'm pretty sure when the wars were going, I felt like our ancestors were.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, like, yeah. if this is as bad as it gets for us,
pretty good.
Boredom.
Yeah.
It's very on brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll take it because I can't imagine. I mean, living in the war zones that exist now,
yeah,
that's going on right now. But, you know, again, like, you know, when it was the World Wars, it's just, you can't comprehend it, and we can't possibly comprehend it. I hope we never see it. But I'll take boredom.
Yeah, all the time.
It's still horrible, and it's horrible that people are, you know, the loved ones are passing away and alone or on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. It's horrible, but it's not the same.
Not as bad. Yeah.
So
it's a wake up call. I think.
I only hope this is as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Same here, man. Same here.
I hope it's a wake up call for sure.
I think so too. Yeah. We got too comfortable, but, you know, speaking of comfortable, we've been talking for an hour, and this is the part of the podcast.
In my pajamas.
In your pajamas. In my apartment, in my gi.
And look at this. Looks like a drug den, doesn't it? This
this is everyone's.
I should have put like some fake background on or something.
I will say this. We're learning more about our coworkers than we would normally be comfortable with. It's like, what you got back there? It's like, you didn't clean up. All right.
It is totally, isn't it? It's like, what's that book you're reading there? I don't approve of that book.
It's a phallic thing that's showing it through your covers. Yeah. That's a lot of Kleenex that you got. We're learning a lot.
I have a very dry face. All right?
Yeah. It's for moisturizing other things. God. But it's interesting. I think there's going to be, I always joke with my friends, there's going to be a massive orgy after everyone gets the thumbs up. Like the camaraderie, the people hugging, it's going to be insane on an insane level.
That's like that Bill Hicks bit, isn't it? Where he says, you know, if they ever find a cure for AIDS, it's going to be fucking in the streets.
I think it's going to be the same effect where everyone gets the thumbs up to like, hang out again. Maybe
we'll just be licking each other's faces.
Yeah. And it might be the best medicine to kind of like help us not fully forget this, but help us recover the bouncing back that day of. But this is the part where I would love to kind of hand the mic over to you. I want to thank you for coming on. And I knew this was going to be casual. We got into like really interesting tangents. And obviously, I always expect that when talking to you, because you're the narrative designer, right? I'm always kind of listening to like, what kind of stories are you kind of brewing up from all this that is not about shooting viruses in the face? Right? Yeah. It's very interesting. This is
actually gave me a good idea. That's what our next game is going to be all about.
Viruses being blown away. I'll be the first one to buy it for sure.
Shut up, crime.
But this is where I kind of hand the mic over to you, and whatever news, anything that you want to post updates, anything where people can find you, tell our good listeners and viewers out there what's up.
Well, sadly, or probably happily, you won't find me in many places socially, but I keep a low profile in that respect. But I have got to say, Little Nightmares 2 is going to be out very soon. I think it's
nice.
I should know this off by heart, but I think it's February 11th.
Nice.
So it's really quick, really not far off now. There's a demo out now, which I've also played myself, even though I've played this game to death. It's really nice to kind of play it on my legit console at home. So yeah, that's what's going on as far as Tarsha goes at the moment. So really hope you enjoy that.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I've got nothing else to say, man. Other than I would just start recommending loads of music, but I always do that. So I just it's been a pleasure talking to you as ever.
Same, man. I was looking forward to catching up with you again. I would say this, like, mm-hmm. Steam wish lists is around the world are being conquered right now during this pandemic in a way that hasn't been, you know, it's been neglected for years, and it took the pandemic for people to like, I need to play these games. Like I am going through them right now, and Little Nightmares 2. I'm looking forward to that. I love what you guys are doing over there, and looking forward to hear your post-COVID games, your ideas.
It's going to be super dark.
I love it. Darker, littler nightmares. You know? It's like, wow, even crazier, huh? But as always, man, it's been a pleasure just shooting the shit with you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Be safe. Stay healthy.
Yeah, you too, man. Take care.
Don't get too stressed out.
No problem.
Yeah, and second guess the DoorDashers. Put that in
your... I will never order from them.
Don't ever do it, man. If you see them, you'll see what I see. All right, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Take care. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.